Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Julianne, could I get you to do this for me real quick while we're reading here? Thank you. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 19 together. And if you'll follow along with me, we'll read this passage responsively. Daniel chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Now, there's some big names in here, all right? Nebuchadnezzar, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, all right? That's how you can say them however you want, but that's how I'm saying them. Those are the four big names that you'll see through here. So Daniel chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Let's read responsively. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you this morning. Kind of an exciting and strange passage, but one that you have given us for a purpose for today. Lord, may we pay attention. May we forget about the person beside or in front or behind us. May we focus on the truth that you have for us. It's life and death. Lord, people don't understand how life and death it really is. But may we pay attention as we should to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is true.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Man wants to mess around with God's word. But can I tell you something? God's words are true.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what man says, God's words are true. The story here of three Hebrew boys, three Jewish young men, they were taken captive by Babylon in the overthrow of the Babylonian captivity. These were friends of who you would know as Daniel. These are three of the four that in Daniel chapter 1 did not eat of the king's meat. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not portion himself the portion of the king's meat. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were those three others with Daniel. They come to a point where Nebuchadnezzar, as king of Babylon, he has built this statue. It's kind of disproportionate. It was a statue of him. It was 6 foot wide and 90 feet tall. It was a totem pole of Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine how out of proportion that must have been? That is as tall as a 9-story building and 6 foot wide. All right? About twice as wide as my pulpit and 90 feet high. And they were able to move it around the kingdom. How? I don't know, nor do I care. But they had their own rock band that followed it. And when they heard the music, people were supposed to fall on their faces and bow to that
that statue and worship it as God. Now, we are here in Daniel chapter 3, and it comes around, they did that because some of the king's men were trying to trip up the Jews. They wanted to get rid of these Christians. Sounds like some other political people I know. They came around, and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were there, and the statue was there, and the music started, and everybody fell on their face except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood there. They did not bow. They did not worship. And King Nebuchadnezzar looked around and saw these three, and he got mad. And he called for them and said, "What are you doing?" By the way, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were leaders of the Jewish people with the king in Babylon. They were part of the princes. They were part of the royal club, so to speak, that were ruling all of Babylon. And here are three of the king's men that wouldn't do what the king said. And he said, "Look, I'll give you one more chance. When the music starts, either you fall down and worship, or we're going to throw your ugly carcass in a furnace and burn you to death. And who's going to deliver you then?" Well, everything started back up. Everybody fell on their face except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is what they said in verse number 17. They said, "We don't answer you carefully." I love that statement, Brother Stoltz. He said, "We don't even have to think about it. We're going to obey God."
Yeah, amen.
He said, "We're not being careful about this. Right. We're not wording it politically correct. Right. We're not going to be careful in our answer. We'll serve our God, and he'll be able to deliver us amen. From you, from the fiery furnace. But if not, be it known, you still didn't get us. God's still God."
Amen. That's right.
God's still God.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar got mad. He got so angry, he said, "Bind them up," and he said, "Heat the furnace up 17 times more hotter than it was need to be heated." I'm going to teach you something here. You've heard it said most of your life, especially if you grew up in church like I did, that Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace up 7 times hotter. Not true. It was 1/7. Average furnace fire for what they would do was between 2,300 and 3,000 degrees. To go 7 times hotter would be 21,000 degrees. You can't do that with a regular fire of any kind. That's near atomic energy. It was 1/7 hotter. He heated it up an extra 500 to 700 degrees. You go from 3,000 to 3,500, you melt steel at about 2,700, 2,800 degrees. That's steel, not lead. But you actually melt steel at about 2,700 or 2,800 degrees. They could get it about another 500 to 700 degrees hotter, but they couldn't go up to 20-some thousand degrees. Everybody doing okay? Notice it says 1/7. 1/7 times hotter. Now, they bound up these three Hebrew boys. They put them, I think it's funny, they bound their hands, they bound their feet, they put socks and wool on them so that they could get them into the fire. They didn't want them burning up before they got into the fire. It was kind of an insulation to be able to put them into the fire. And they opened up the furnace after they got it heated up super hot. And the Bible says as soon as they opened the doors, the men that were going to throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fire was so hot that when they opened the door, it came out and consumed them and burned them up immediately, and they died. Now that's a hot fire. They got more men to pick up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and toss them into the furnace. And the show began. They were waiting for the screams, and they were waiting for watching everything catch up in flame. Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he said, hey, we got a problem. How many did we throw into the fire? They said, three. He said, everybody look, one, two, three, four. And the fourth looks like the form of the Son of God. Even an unsaved king knew the presence of Jesus.
Yes.
King Nebuchadnezzar got a little nervous. He thought they were going to die. They're loose, walking around in the fire. And he calls in. He says, hey, fellas. They say, what you want, king? How about y'all come out here now? That's in West Virginia redneck. They walked out of the fire, stood before the king. The Bible says there was not a hair of their head singed, and they did not smell like smoke. That's better than most people. Then Nebuchadnezzar says, obviously, your God is more powerful than our gods. And King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that everybody, and look this way, everybody in Babylon was to now worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of Israel.
Amen.
He made it a decree that you had to worship the God of Israel or you'd be put to death. Nebuchadnezzar was kind of wild and weird. Then he promoted Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the kingdom and gave them a higher position than they were when they got thrown into the furnace. They got a job promotion. Talk about tried by fire. Baptism by fire. Now, may I say this, what a great and mighty God we serve.
Amen.
I don't care what the world says, man makes a pretty bad God.
Yes,
look how stupid our world is. Well, we have to have physical proof. They believe that about everything except creation. All of the proof of creation is there, and yet they don't have any physical proof for evolution, but they believe evolution.
Right.
Man wants to trust his own mind. Man wants to trust himself. Today, I want to share some wonderful truths with you that will help you in your life as it has helped me. Number one, listen to this very carefully. God's commands do not need a promise in order for you to obey. God's commands do not need a promise in order for you to obey. For instance, if I say, Brother Stoltz, if you stay awake in church, I'll give you this. But if not, you don't get it. Now, that's a promise. If you obey, you get something. Did you know that you're supposed to stay awake in church because you're supposed to stay awake in church? And you're not getting my $20 bill. It's the only thing left I got. My wife got the rest. I mean, now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? You don't have to have a promise from God to obey. Did you know that thou shalt not kill means thou shalt not kill? No promise attached. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Mrs. Clinton needs that one. And Mr. Steele and Mr. McCabe and a few others. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, there's no promise attached to any of those. Did you know you're supposed to tell the truth because it's the right thing to do? Talking to you, Jesse. All right. You're just not supposed to lie. There's no promise attached to it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. End of discussion.
Right.
Now God says, if you do it, I'll extend your days, that your days may be long upon the earth. Wonder how many people have died early because of their disobedience to their parents. Not all God's commands have promises attached. and may I say this, obedience based on a promise only isn't really good obedience. I realize when you're training young children, you got to put prizes before them. You got to kind of bribe them a little bit to get them started down the road. But when they hit 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and you got to say, well, if you do this, we'll go do this, they don't know how to obey.
Right.
Now, everybody listen to this statement very carefully. You ought to, that's all right, come on in. You ought to teach your children to obey because it's the right thing to do, not because they get a prize for obeying.
Yes, sir.
You know, I taught my children to obey authority, not just mom and dad. Everybody look this way. You're supposed to obey authority, period, end of discussion. Whether you like the authority or not.
Right.
I taught my children, if your Sunday school teacher told you to do something, you better do it. When you get home, you're in trouble.
Yep.
If your teacher told you to do something, even though you didn't think you did it and you got in trouble for it, you're going to get in trouble for it. Because you probably got away with something you shouldn't have done anyway, and you deserved to get in trouble then, and you didn't, so you're, God's making up for it. We live in a world where everything is about the child. Young people. Okay, I'm going to gripe for a second. Everybody ready? You're going to listen to my gripe. I think it's the stupidest thing in the world that we cancel school because it's cold outside.
That's right.
Well, those poor babies have to go stand on the corner, and they might have to wait 10 minutes in the cold. How many of them went outside and played all day long in that cold because they had no school?
Right.
It's too cold to wait on the bus, but they can go outside and play in it, and mom and dad are good with that. Everybody doing all right? Well, we don't want little Junior to get a sniffle. Aww. Give him a Kleenex and let him go to school.
Amen.
He won't use the Kleenex. He's got a long sleeve shirt. He'll use his shirt. Amen?
Amen.
Or he'll use the person's shirt next to him. He doesn't care.
There you go.
You know, God doesn't have to give you a promise in order for you to obey. God shouldn't have to bribe you to obey. By the way, the lost world judges God and judges Christians based on promises, not obedience. This is where you get into the people that get into the prosperity gospel. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away.
Not true.
Uh-uh. Oh, you do, you obey God and you'll never have a financial problem again. Tell that to disciples. Tell that to Jesus. That's not biblical.
Amen.
Well, send the church or send this person your seed money. God will bless it. You'll have good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yeah, and that's why he lives in a $12 million house and you can't pay your bills. Everybody doing all right? You can't buy your way to prosperity. Salvation needs obeyed or you die and go to hell. It's that simple. And please don't get angry with me for saying that. But either you go God's way or you do it man's way. Man's way is the way of death. God's way is the way of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
And if you die without Christ, you'll die and go to hell. Well, I believe in God. The Bible says that the devil believes and trembles. I don't care about the fact that you believe in God. Have you come to the point where you realize you're a sinner, that you've committed a sin, because you're a sinner, you deserve hell, and that Jesus Christ and he alone paid the price for you, and you accept that by faith alone? Not your baptism, not your good works, not your church membership, not some ritual that you went through, not because granny was a Christian and great-grandma was a Christian and mama was a Christian and everybody's buried out back. I'm so sick and tired of these churches with cemeteries that have more action in the cemetery than they do in the church. Pretty bad when a cemetery's got more life than a church.
Sure.
Sowing and reaping is true, whether you like it or not. Did you know if you plant beans, you're not going to get corn?
That's right.
Do you know if you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get blueberries? I know that's a shock. Yeah. Did you know that there is such thing called sowing and reaping? Let me see here. Malachi, come on up here. I won't embarrass you, I promise. At least if he blushes, you can't tell. All right? Now, wait a minute. He's trying to. Here's a saved young man. A good young man. Hardworking young man. Come up here. Here's a vile old wicked wretched lost sinner. Good role play today, isn't it? Now, did you know? Have you gotten sick this year? All right. He's gotten sick this year. This old vile, dirty, wicked, rotten sinner. Have you been sick this year? Yeah, I can tell. He probably had a hangover. Wait a minute. Did you know saved people get sick?
Yes, sir.
Lost people get sick?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Don't you wish you had some more money than you have right now? We do, too. Do you struggle sometimes financially paying your bills, too? Huh. Malachi just got his driver's license. Everybody stay on the sidewalks. We'll be okay. Wait a minute. Did you know it doesn't matter if you're saved or if you're lost? Sowing and reaping is true. Did you know if a lost man plants corn, he gets corn? Do you know if a saved person plants corn, he gets corn? Did you know if you have cows, they're going to have cow babies and not pigs? Did you know a saved person that has cows, they have cow babies and not pigs? And if the cow does have pigs, you got more trouble than you know what to do with. You can have a seat, fellas. Sowing and reaping is true, and there's no promise attached other than you will reap what you sow. If you sow sin, you're going to reap sin. Well, I try to live a good life, and still bad things happen to me because you're still a sinner. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this in coming days. I'm tired of how Calvinism has affected Christianity. We think that God is up in heaven pushing every knob and every lever of every step of your life. We blame God when something doesn't go our way. That's not how it works. Well, God willing, God is not willing that any should perish. Well, I just don't understand why God took this person. God didn't take him. Sin took him. My grandma died back in October at 99 and a half years old. God didn't take her. Her body gave out because of sin. Everybody doing okay? Somebody might die. Brother Rick Walter passed away in November this year. Died of cancer. 46 years old. Wife and 6 kids. Younger man. Young middle age man. Really young man.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Is it fair? He was a sinner. We're all going to die. As it's appointed unto man, once to die, after this, the judgment.
That's right.
Period. Well, I don't understand why God did it. God didn't. Sin did it. Why do we want to blame God for our sin? Why do we want to blame God for the consequences of sowing and reaping? Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'll preach that sermon later. Did you know bad people get heartache as well as good people have heartache? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your heart's not going to break. Just because you're a saved person doesn't mean everything's going to go just as exactly as you want it to go. Because you're not perfect. If you have to be bribed to obey God, you're not going to obey when there's no bribe there. Immaturity needs bribed, not maturity. I probably shouldn't say this. Brother Harry, add it to the list. Amen. I've had people get mad at me. We've even had people leave our church. This is what they say.
Well, we're just not being fed there. Number one, they got a hole in their head the size of twin Mack trucks.
That's right.
You can't get any deeper or any better than the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, what they're telling you is they don't like the menu. It's hitting too close to home. They don't like what's being served. May I tell you something? This is military chow. This isn't Golden Corral. You don't get what you want. You come, we flop it on the plate, eat it.
Amen.
You may not like it, but swallow it. It'll be okay.
Amen.
Say why? Because I know how to feed you truth. You know a little baby doesn't choose what they eat. Mama does. Mama gives them what they need to nourish them and bring them along. And the preacher's here giving you what you need so that you can make it in this world and make the next life even better. By the way, sometimes it's distasteful to me too. There are things I eat that aren't always pleasant, spiritually speaking, and sometimes physically speaking. Huh. Selfishness wants bribed. The flesh wants bribed. We think if God doesn't have a promise attached, we don't have to obey it. You're to obey whether you like it or not. Well, officer, I was only doing 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Why'd you pull me over? Because you broke the law. Like it or lump it. Well, I thought there was a 10-mile-an-hour barrier there. Quit living by based on what people tell you. What is the law? Don't get mad at the officer for doing his job. That's what you're paying him to do. It's that simple. Everybody doing it? Man, I'm having fun right now. Hits you right where it hurts, doesn't it? You know, we think just because it didn't happen the way we wanted it, that we have a right to complain about it. Good night. I got to hurry. Number one, God's commands don't need a promise attached to it to obey. Did you know that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not need to know for sure God was going to deliver them? They just decided they were going to obey the command not to have any false gods before them. Notice what they said. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we're still not going to do it. We're going to obey right because it's right to do, not because we get delivered.
That's right.
I got a lot of preacher friends that have kind of separated from me. Can I tell you why? They've changed. I won't change with them.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Not going to do it. I got many church members that have been here and gone because they don't like the preaching anymore. I'm not changing to keep somebody here.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. I'll love you. I'll help you. I have no enemies that I am an enemy to, but I'm not changing the word of God for you, for me, or for anybody else. I didn't change it when my kids turned teenagers and started wanting to balk a little bit. Kept preaching the truth whether they obeyed it or not too. Anybody doing all right? That one will hair-lip a few. Number two, I got to hurry up. Others were killed in the fire because before the three Hebrew boys were thrown in. That fire was real. Imaginary fire doesn't kill people. You know that little picture that you put on your TV of a candle glowing? It doesn't burn your finger. But you light a candle and put your finger in it, it's going to burn you. Don't try it, young people. Trust the preacher. People really died. Your stand for the truth will cause casualties to the world. Let's make a statement here. Your standing for the truth will cause casualties to the world. Say, what do you mean, preacher? We have men and women all over this globe fighting because we are a Christian nation. We have men and women that have lost their lives to give us the freedom to preach the truth that I'm standing behind this pulpit preaching to you today for.
You're right.
We have people that have gone around the world fighting people that hate God, hate Christianity, and yes, it's Muslims. Yes, it's other religions too. Well, this is a political war. It's not a religious war. That's a lie out of hell. It is a matter of jihad, which is a holy war in the Muslim religion, because Allah said, if you won't become Muslim, that anybody that will not be a Muslim, it should be killed. It's in their Quran. Well, that's just the radical ones. Do you know what the difference between a radical and a moderate Muslim is? The moderates pay for the radicals to go do their jihad. I'm not against somebody because of their religion. I'm not against somebody because of the color of their skin. I'm not against somebody because of their nationality. I'm against people because of wrong and wrongdoing.
Yes.
Period. Your stand for truth is going to cause casualties. You know, J. Frank Norris, you talk about a wild preacher man. Back in the early 1900s, J. Frank Norris was rough. J. Frank Norris had his house burned down twice. They burnt his church building down. He was going against the mob. He was going against organized liquor and prohibition. And he was going against the Southern Baptist Convention. All at the same time. J. Frank Norris was told that a man was going to break into his office and shoot him one evening. J. Frank Norris kept a pistol in his desk. That man came in, busted the door open, pointed a gun at J. Frank Norris, and J. Frank Norris pulled his out and shot him first and killed him. Stood trial for it. And won.
Right.
Mine's not kept in the desk, but the preacher's got one. Mine's a little closer than my desk, amen? Can I tell you something? J. Frank Norris would fight these people, not physically, but he'd get in their face and say, look, if you're messing with God's work, God's going to kill you. They would find these people dead. Car accidents and strange things taking place. J. Frank Norris was so rough, one of his biggest enemies, he told him, he said, you think your brains are so smart, God's going to smash your brains all over the pavement one day. 6 days later, he was in a car accident and smashed his head and the brains were all over the sidewalk. J. Frank Norris was there. They called for him. Went out and scraped some of those brains up and put them in a jar and came to church the next morning and preached with the man's brains sitting on the pulpit.
Amen. Good preacher right there.
My kind of man. Hoorah! Can I tell you something? There comes a point in time where people are going to have to pay attention to the man of God and the word of God. I won't tell you what their names are. Mrs. Barnes knows this is true. She heard me say it 3 times in public to everyone in the room. I said, look, you're dealing with God's money. It's not my money. And you better not misuse God's money. I said, because I'm telling you something, God's not real happy when you mess around with his money. I said, you better be careful charging us $145 per phone call. Soaked us for over $44,000 for the engineering and still didn't have it right. Totally. They called us in October and said, you have to the end of the month because we're going out of business. And I said, I told you, don't mess with God's money. I wasn't happy. I prayed for those people to get new jobs. I did. I was not happy about it at all, but tell you what, it sure did scare a couple business people. Scared a builder. Scared a banker. Scared him to death. I walked into his office after that, just when we needed the extra $70,000, and said, you know what happened to such and such engineering firm? Are you going to mess around with God's money? He said, no, sir, preacher. His tune changed real fast. I'm convinced. Not because of me. It's God's work, not mine. But I know there's an engine. By the way, they had multiple entities of it. It wasn't just a mom and pop place. The whole thing shut down, just not that one branch. I mean, the whole company. don't mess with God. There's going to be casualties along the way. Everybody doing all right? People died in the fire to prove that the fire was real so that God could prove his power. Because you know there'd be people say, well, it really wasn't fire. It just looked like fire. Jesus didn't really die. He just went into a swoon for 3 days, and that's how he got up out of the grave. That's what the liberals will tell you. Well, he didn't really die. He just went into kind of suspended animation and a swoon, and his heart slowed way down. And he really was alive, but he came back to life after 3 days and three nights. Nope. That's how stupid man is. Standing for the truth does not stop problems. Sometimes it's going to create problems. You stand for the truth, you're going to have troubles with some of your family. They're not going to understand it. Can I tell you something? Stand for the truth. Stand for the truth. Where you work may not understand you. Stand for the truth. Can I tell you something? The man that gave us $100,000, he was my boss 30 years ago. I haven't worked for him in 27 years. And in the last 14 months, he's given us $165,000. I haven't worked for him in over a quarter of a century. I've only seen him once in the last 27 years. But about every 12 to 16 months for the last 27 years, send him a letter or an email that says, thank you for employing me, get me through college, this is where I'm at, this is what's happening. I'm able to do for God what I'm doing because you took a chance on me and hired me in your machine shop. Just want you to know I appreciate it. I didn't make $165,000 in the 3 years I worked for him. I never worked for him thinking someday he was going to give me a bunch of money. He didn't give it to me anyway. He gave it to God, thank God. Lost people are going to see their education against Christianity as, well, you just don't agree with truth. And they wouldn't know the truth if it smacked them upside the face. Well, you're just shallow Christianity. You have to have the crutch of Christianity to lead on. You need to come to a higher learning. If that's higher learning, I'd rather stay low. They're not as smart as they think they are. So, God's commands don't need a promise attached for us to obey. Number two, others were killed in the fire because of these three Hebrew boys being thrown in the fire. Number three, Jesus was in the fire. I want you to listen to this. This is about my favorite part of the sermon. You ready? Did you know Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus in the fire? Did you know people on the outside saw Jesus in the fire? Here's the part that I want you to see. Brother Jimbo, this is going to make a Methodist shout. You know, not one place in there does it say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him? Never even implies that they saw him. Nebuchadnezzar did. People outside did. But it never said, you never hear recorded that they saw him. They knew something was going on because they weren't frying. They knew his presence was somewhere near, but it never says that they saw him. Now listen to this very carefully. Say, well, how's that possible? In World War II, we were in the Pacific Theater. General Douglas MacArthur was in one of the battles in one of the islands. They were fighting the Japanese and the forces opposing us. We had captured a POW that they interrogated, and the story went up to the line to the point where General MacArthur had heard the story, called for the POW personally. That POW was, that Japanese man was a sniper. And he had witnesses that he was sniping one day and had General MacArthur in his sights. They had confirmed that it was MacArthur. He had his scope on the chest of MacArthur, And the Japanese soldiers were saying, squeeze the trigger. Squeeze the trigger. He said, I can't. He said, why? He said, because. Do you see those two giant angels standing behind him? I can't do it. They looked through the man's scope and they saw angels around General MacArthur, and none of the Japanese would take the shot. I can take you back to the Revolutionary War with George Washington. Same thing. Over and over and over and over, it's recorded in history. People that, by the way, MacArthur never saw them. Washington never saw them. But the enemy did. Those outside did. So it's quite possible that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego never saw Jesus in the fire. You may know he's there. You may know he's protecting you, but you may not see him while others do. Listen to this statement. He revealed himself to the lost and the backslidden, not to those who were willing to live and die for him. Listen to this very carefully. Quit looking to see Jesus. Live for him. You got the healers, feelers, and squealers. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. I sense his presence. Gag. I saw Jesus. I saw a 900-foot Jesus. No, you had bad pizza before you went to bed. It always amazed me, faith healers that had hospitals. How could Oral Roberts believe in faith healing and have a hospital? Doesn't make sense to me. We are to obey God so others can see him. We're not to obey God so that we see him. I am to live so that others see him, not so that I get to see him. Right. One of our men in our church this week, he said, preacher, he said, I love you. He said, thank you for pointing us to God. And he said, I see more and more of God through you. What a humbling statement. Now, if you think I'm God, you got troubles. I'm telling you right now, I'm not. Not that that's a shock to anybody. Can I tell you something? If you're saved, you're going to get to see Jesus. It's called the rapture in eternity. You're going to die and go to heaven. You'll get to live eternity with him. Hold on. Let others see him through you till you get to see him when you get there. Concentrate on obeying so that others can see him. It is not my job to live so that I get to see him. It's my job to obey so that others can see him through me. Number four, and I'm done. I've got to hurry. Promotion came by obedience, but promotion was never promised. Too many people are looking for position. I'll do this and I can work my way up the ladder. Can I tell you something? There's no ladder in Christianity. Ground's level at the cross. The only way up is through the cross, and most people won't pay the price. I am not here moving up the ladder. Verse number 30 said that Nebuchadnezzar, after all of this, he promoted them. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were never promised a promotion by doing right. But because they did right, God gave them the promotion they needed.
That's good. God's doing something great at Grace Baptist Church.
Amen.
We've got something special going on. I don't even know that I know how to describe it other than Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are seeing God bless his church, not God bless my church or your church.
Yes, sir.
It's his church, not our church. I can't describe it to you, but I know this. The more we obey, the more God blesses. The more we obey, the more God gives us influence all over this community. The more we obey, God gives us influence in our country. The more we obey, God gives us influence in our world.
Brother Coral was preaching at Commonwealth College this week. Can I tell you something? We support Brother Coral as a missionary.
Praise the Lord.
I don't ever get a letter from Brother Coral without seeing 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people being saved a month. My daughter said, "Daddy, Brother Coral was here today." I said, "Amen, bless God." She started laughing just like you did. She said, "Oh, Daddy, you did that pretty good." She said, "Brother, Mrs. Coral, we're asking about you, and they're excited. They didn't know about how close we were." I said, "Yeah, it's been a couple months since I've talked to Brother Coral." I said, "I really need to get a hold of him." My son texted me on Wednesday night right before church. I was sitting here. My phone buzzed, and I looked at it. I thought, "Oh, no, what's going on?" And it was my son, Jeff, and he said, "Dad, Brother Coral's here." He was so excited. He got to talk to Brother Coral this week again. Can I tell you something? I'm glad our money goes to support people that are seeing people saved. Amen. Brother Phil Palace in Ontario, Toronto, Canada. Seeing people saved every week in Canada. That's not easy to do. Been up there for a couple decades now. I could go on and on. Supporting Brother Arcola.
Yes, yes.
By the way, if you look at real Bible missions, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. 3/4 of your missions ought to be your own country. 1/4 should go outside. That's scriptural. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun here. I'd rather take our money and support a man like Kevin Arcola in the backwoods of Blacksville, West Virginia, where they pump sunshine in and moonshine out. Got a building falling down, living in a just unbelievable what the man goes through. And yet he's having visitors almost every week, people saved almost every week. And little old Blacksville. Can I tell you why? Because this church is doing what they're supposed to do. It's inspiring other churches to do the same thing. Can I tell you there's a church in Winthrop, Maine right now whose pastor died in November. They've had the interim pastor there for 3 months and they're voting on him next Sunday to become their pastor. He's probably going to get 100% vote.
Amen.
Can I tell you why? Because he's got the pedal to the metal doing what he's supposed to do. They've got an architect involved to get the bottom floor of their basement redone so they can move into the new building and not worry about the second floor right now. They got the money sitting in the bank to finish it. He and I are in a contest to see who can get done first. But every Sunday it's, "Hey, we had this many visitors. We had this many people saved, baptized this many people."
Praise God.
Say, where's that all come from? Little old Grace Baptist Church, obeying God. Mm-hmm. God doesn't always promise promotion, but it often causes promotion when you obey him. Brother Mike, did you know disobeyers very rarely go up the line? And if they do go up the line, they don't have the character to stay up the line. Just keep obeying. "Well, somebody else got the promotion. They're a scoundrel." Well, hang on. You wait a year or two. They won't keep it. Quit worrying about the position. Just obey.
Amen.
Glad my daddy taught me a long time ago. "Son, you better make sure what you agree to work for, you're willing to live with the rest of your life. Don't you ever ask for a raise. Don't you ever protest for a higher wage because you're the dummy that agreed to that wage to start with.
Amen.
You don't like it, go somewhere else and work."
Amen.
I'm glad my dad taught me that. Everybody doing okay? These Hebrew boys didn't say, "Well, if we go through this fire, maybe we'll get a promotion." No. Let right be its own reward. I really think they believed they were going into the fire to see Jesus, but it was going to be in heaven, not on earth. By the way, I'll say this and I'm done. These three men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, probably were the reason that later in the book of Daniel, Daniel stood and was thrown into the lion's den. Let me ask you a question. Daniel was of equal rank with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego here. Where was Daniel? Daniel was on his face before a false god. The
man whom God used to pen the book of Daniel needed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to live right, to pull him back out of his stupidity, to live right for God.
Look at all the disciples and the mistakes they made, even with Jesus. Good night. The disciples changed doctrine so much. Oh, it's a ghost. Jesus is a ghost. We believe in ghosts. They quit the ministry and went back to the fishing business. They ran in fear at Calvary. Ran like a bunch of scared rats. Peter was cussing and swearing. How'd you like to have your preacher cuss and swear? I promise you I'd do it to the right person. I just call my banker. He'd say, "Preacher, just call me. I'll tell him what you really want to say. I can use words you're not going to use. I may before it's all over. I don't know." I had a man one day, he cussed somebody out in front of me. I said, hold it. He said, "It's okay, preacher." He said, "They deserve it." I said, "It's all right. You write it. I'll sign it. Amen." Wait a minute. They gave Daniel the courage to live for God and do what's right so that later when Daniel needed to stand for God, he stood for God. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure you're saved? Why don't you obey God and get saved? I'm not talking about some hocus pocus and sprinkle spoofoo dust everywhere. I'm talking about get yourself saved. Maybe you've been saved and you never obeyed God with baptism. Today's the day. Get saved and get baptized. Maybe you want to join the church. Maybe you should get involved in reaching other people and bringing them to church. That's what it's all about. Each one reach one. Every family reach a family. God says after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized, join the church, and then go out and get people saved, get them baptized, get them into the church. That's what it's all about. Let's all just obey whether there's a promise attached or not. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to obey God with your life today? Are you willing to obey God? Not what you want, but what God wants. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. What an amazing passage of Scripture. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, "Preacher, if I die today, I won't embarrass you just like I did not embarrass them." Who'd say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that truth is something I personally needed today." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, you may put your hands down. In a moment, we'll have the piano play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand and said there was something in that sermon you needed, why don't you come as far forward as you can, get on your knees and pray and talk to God about that. If you need to get saved today, you come and we'll take the Bible and show you how. If you need to be baptized or join our church, we'd love to have you today. We can take care of it anytime.